Good morning, and welcome to our third session on Abounding in Favor. And aren't we blessed to have the favor of the Lord upon us? Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your love that causes you to want to grace us, to want to give to us. And as evidence of that grace, so many favors you pour out upon us. So we thank you for that today. Teach us more today, Lord. Holy Spirit, we look to you to reveal the Word of God to us today. And we say, have your way in our lives today, that we might be changed from glory to glory as we see ourselves in this Word today. We give you praise and glory and honor, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin today by doing a quick review on what we covered last week. And it's really probably not as quick as some of them because this part is so important. And we're going to pick it up today and continue on as we look at how we increase in favor. So we're going to be talking today about what we must know in order to grow. But first, as I said, let's talk about His favor being on me. Now, we've got three verses that we've anchored in. Psalm 5:12 says in the English Standard Version, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield." Other translations say you compass about or compass or even surround. And the Hebrew word there, atar, that is used, literally means to encircle, either to attack an enemy position or to encircle to protect a town, or I would say in our case, someone near and dear who has the favor of the Lord on their behalf. It also means to crown, that circle that is placed upon our head. And we talked about how we are crowned with His goodness, and even things that we touch are crowned. We also looked at the attributes of the Hebrew word that is used for favor, and it's often translated goodwill, pleasure, kindness, love, joy. And what do we see there? We see that those attributes really can be used interchangeably. Because of His pleasure toward you, He has favor toward you. Psalm 41, verse 11 in the Amplified says, "By this I know that you favor and delight in me." Another one of those attributes. And look what the result of that is. "Because my enemy does not triumph over me." Wow, what a verse that is. What strong verse that is. And then in Proverbs 3, in the fourth verse, which is right smack in the middle there of 1 through 10, which gives us instruction, this verse says in the Passion Translation, "That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men." Now you're going to see this phrase over again, both God and men. So we have God's favor on us, and God will place it upon the heart of men to show us favor as well. And then it goes and says, "And you will gain the reputation of living life well." And that's really what we focused on and learned about last week. What do people say? "Well, nothing good ever happens to me. You know, it just always for others, not for me. It's just like I'm forgotten or I'm invisible." No, no, and no. There are scriptures that says you're never forgotten, that He's got His eye upon you. So we shouldn't, as believers, be saying those kind of things. The children of Israel, they certainly weren't forgotten when they cried out to the Lord. We saw that in Exodus 2 and 3 last week. And even though sin had separated them from God, once they cried out and were delivered, again, I would say a great favor, left with favor, with great wealth as well. But even after that, they still sinned. And Moses, when the Lord became very upset, remembered this as he interceded for him in Exodus 33. Moses reminded the Father himself. He said, "You favored me and you favored this, your people." Oh, I like that. It's not just favoring the man of God. It's favoring the people of God. And that's so true of us today. In fact, what came along with that favor? His presence. You could not interchange it. I mean, you could not separate the two. When His presence was there, favor was upon Him. And then in verse 17, it says that we found favor and that you know our name. and that you're going to be with us. And that became a distinguishing factor so that all the world could see how blessed the children of Israel were. And that's why, as we saw in Scripture, the Lord said He blessed them. In Psalm 67, in Young's Literal, it says, God does favor us. That's verse 1. And then it says, why? He says that He does it for the knowledge in the earth of thy way amongst all the nations. So we're being favored. We're being highly favored. We're having opportunity to proceed, to partake of the blessing of the Lord. And when we do, others will see us. It shows favor of the Lord, and He's doing it for His name's sake. And that's also what He says in Psalm 23, all the things that He does, all the favor that we see man receiving, table set before our enemies for us to partake from. And it even said that's His favor. And again, for His name's sake. I just can't get over that. As much as He loves us, He's using us as a testimony of His goodness. And that ought to be true for us today. Psalm 23 also concludes by saying His goodness is going to what? Chase us down. It's going to follow us. And we saw that word literally means to pursue. So how blessed are we as a people with the favor? And this is just as was prophesied. We looked at a couple of verses, one in Psalms and one in Proverbs. The one in Psalms, in Psalm 80, twice it says this, restore us. And I know to underline the word again, which is the next word, as I was going through my notes last night. The children of Israel missed it over and over, and He had to restore them. Thus He gave the law in such a manner that they could offer sacrifices. But for us, we don't have to be restored again and again. You already are restored if you miss it, because Jesus sacrificed once for all the sin that we would have. It goes on and says, O God of hosts, cause Your face to shine upon us with favor as of old. They were remembering that favor that they had, and they were prophesying that we want to see it again. This is the day that we live in. That psalm concludes, and I can't skip that part, by saying, and we will be saved. So salvation comes to us. When it does, favor, as they had of old, is restored to you and I today, so that we be a testimony. Proverbs 8:35 says, whoever finds Me finds life. And what it's talking about is talking about wisdom. And look what that obtains. Favor from the Lord. So today, I want to shift a little bit. We're going to continue in this vein of seeing us as favored. That is so essential. You just can't say, yes, I know God favors His people. You've got to get it inside you as I continue to refresh this knowledge in myself. God favors me. And we'll begin to talk after next couple of weeks about how this favor works in our life, things that we should look for. And let me just say right now, favor in the protection we have will not keep problems from coming to us. When you put an umbrella up, it may keep the rain off of you. It may protect you, but it does not stop the rain from coming necessarily. And you're going to see that's a lot how favor works for us. So today, know, must know to grow. I'm going to start, and today may not be as big a shouting ground for some. You may not appear that way. Actually, it is. But we're going to kind of go back to and build a foundation today of us being favored, and how we begin to grow. And we're going to do that by looking at others in God's Word who were favored. Let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and we're going to look at Abram here in these first three verses. Now, I know we've read it, but we're going to touch on a few different things. So the first three verses of chapter 12 in the book of beginnings, Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, and I'm just going to emphasize that because you're going to see this said, spoken to, saw in the Word, heard, all these kind of things over and over today. He said, go forth from your country, so He's giving him a command, and from your relatives and your father's house to a land which I will show you. That first step to take. And then He says in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will empower you to prosper. I will make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing. Wow. Verse 3 continues, says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families in the earth will be blessed. Now we know he's talking about the lineage of Jesus flowing through in to be a man from Abram when he talks about this today. Let me read you verse 2 in the Amplified. He says, I will make of you a great nation. And then he says, I will bless you. And look at how he blesses us with abundant increase of favors. Might I say it this way? With opportunities to see the blessing manifest. And as a result of that, Abram is told his name is going to be made famous and distinguished. But then it also says, and you will be a blessing to others. And when it talks about that, it says dispensing good to others. How about if I say it this way? Showing favor to others. Well, freely we've received, freely we're to give. And we'll see that Abram did that. So in this, the Lord's not just telling Abram, I'm going to bless you. He's really showing him how he's going to do it by an abundant increase of favors, plural. This says it's not just a one and done. And I would say this is something that ought to increase just as the Word talks about the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. So how many opportunities do you think Abram had during his life? How many times was he favored so that the blessing would manifest in order for him to become famous and distinguished? I think it was over and over. I think it was an ongoing thing, ever increasing, so that he could be blessed. And how? He could be blessed in being a blessing to others. And let me say that he did this. He was a blessing to others. Think about what he did in chapter 13 with Lot. When he said, I'm going to give you the choice. You choose whatever part of the land you want to choose. And Lot chose to separate himself from the blessed one, from the one who was receiving favor, and just go ahead and take the best land. And then in chapter 14, he went and defended them. He was their protection. Again, I will say he was showing great favor to the king of Sodom there. But I want you to look at verse 4, because what we're looking for in this is things that Abram did in order to position himself under a spigot that had been turned on for producing favor. And remember, he got instruction from the Lord in verse 1. And here's what it said. Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. He was obedient. Now, he took some time that he probably shouldn't have took. He took his father with him, and that delayed him from getting to some places that the Lord wanted him. But Abram went forth. Let me say it this way. He believed. He was obedient. Thus, he did what? He acted on the word that came to him from God. Now, Abram could have easily said, I can't do that. I can't leave everybody. What do you want me to do? Start over? So, I can imagine it was very uncomfortable. I imagine there were some relatives who were not happy with him at all. And that's something we need to see as we talk about growing. This is something we must know to grow. Quite often, for us to act on what the Lord has said and receive the favor he wants to give us, we have to step out of our comfort zone. I can't tell you how far out of my comfort zone I stepped back years ago when he said I was going to be teaching. I just could not conceive that we would be doing what we're doing today. But it reminds me of what Isaiah 1:18 or around 19 says. We've got to be willing and obedient. We're not just going to see, and I'm going to say this a couple of times, you're not just going to see favors dumped on you. You're going to see opportunities come for that dumping on you to happen, but it's going to come as an opportunity, and that's the favor, because the blessing will follow right behind it. Now look at with me, turn over to chapter 15, and I want you to look at verse 5. Verse 5, he's told him to go outside, and now he's telling him to look up to the heavens and count the stars, and if you're able to count them, he says, so shall your descendants be. I personally think here he's talking about the descendants being the spiritual seed. The sand, as he uses later on, is his physical seed, which was used to get to this. But this is you and I he's talking about here. And look at verse 6. Then Abram, it says, then he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned, an accounting term. He imputed, he counted it. He put it on his ledger as a credit to Abram, to him as righteousness. Now, do you begin to see how acting on the word is part of that righteousness as being made righteous? That is how what? That is how favor comes to us. We saw in Psalm 5:12, the righteous are blessed. But I want to ask you a question. If Abram's account was credited, whose account was to be debited? And that's the account that Jesus paid. So even in this, it's all about Jesus and what he was going to do for us. Have you ever considered for Abraham, chapter 22 of Genesis, when he took his son, the ram? Wasn't that favor? And I might ask, where was that ram? He was there where he told him to go. Talk about stepping out of a comfort zone. Gosh, how much faith and confidence that he would raise him back up must he have had? So we want to hear the Lord, and then we want to be obedient. That is foundational, and we see it here. Now, let me just remind you of what favor means in Webster to us today. Friendly regard shown by one, especially a superior, someone who approves consideration or gives attention to. It means partiality. It means gracious kindness, and it means favors, plural. That word is plural. And so it's his kindness that's given. And we talked about now, and we're going to see this over and over, opportunities is what favor is to have the blessing manifest. Can I say it this way? It might be delight demonstrated. His delight for you, as we saw earlier in Psalm 41, verse 11 in the Amplified. I have favored and delighted in you, and you know this because I know this because my enemy hasn't overcome me. So I just want to keep this fresh in our mind. Now let's go to the New Testament, and I want to go to the book of Luke. And we're going to begin in the first chapter, and then we're going to go to a couple of other scriptures and come back to some more verses in Luke. But I want to talk about Mary. Would you say that she had a big increase of favor? Let's look in verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged in a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he, talking about the angel, said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, let me read this in this last verse in the New King James. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So I want to start here And let me just remind you that the Lord said to her later on, don't be afraid. This is in verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So here's the Lord saying that Mary already has what? Favor. She's already found favor because of the way things she's done to live her life. And this word, though, the word that we want to look at and focus on is what he said to her. Let's start with this one. The Lord is with you. When we see that, what have we seen over and over and over, starting with Joseph back in week one? With the presence of the Lord, with Joseph and with the children of Israel last week, came what? Came favor. And isn't that what it says? He says, refers to her as highly favored one. Now, this word is only used two times in Scripture. The word favor that we talked about in verse 30 is the word charis or charis. And in this case, it's built off that word. It's not the same word, but it means caritao. And it's C-A-R-I-T-O-O. And that's probably I probably butchered the pronunciation of it. But I want you to see it flows from the word grace. And that's what you need to begin to see favor as, something which flows because of His desire and love to give to you freely. But I said this word is only used twice. So we would all agree Mary is highly favored because of what she's about to be told she's to do. And I want you to see, she's favored, so this is an increase of favor that is being bestowed upon us. Now, go to Ephesians 1. And in Ephesians 1, I want to start reading in the first chapter of the second verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we go. This is some of the part I want to emphasize. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ. That's talking about you and I. We've already been blessed with so much. And then it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the earth, that we too should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now listen to this phrase, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, does that sound like we've been shown some favor? I think so. And look at verse 6. This is the key verse. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Can I tell you that the words there, made accepted, us, made accepted, is that same word that was used for highly favored with Mary. In fact, the World English Bible says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He freely gave us favor in the Beloved. We saw last week about reconciliation, providing favor, bringing us back into favor. So I want you to begin to see, you are highly favored as a believer in Christ Jesus because of His good pleasure of His will towards you. Now that ought to be faith building. To think that you're placed, I mean, the word that describes Mary in the eyes of God now describes each of us as born again believers in Jesus. Wow. Now go back to Luke 1 with me, because I want you to see what Mary did. Can I say to you that the Lord is not going to force you to do this? And I just want you to see verses 37 and 38. Mary says, concerning the word of how this was going to happen, she says, for no word, no rhema, so here again she's hearing, will be impossible with you. And then she says, behold the bond slave. So even as she sees herself highly favored by the Lord, she's saying, I want to be the bond slave. Be it done unto me according to your word. So I want you to see, she had to do what? Make the choice to receive and to accept that. Now, might I say that she was submitting to the will of God? She was being humble and doing what He wanted her to do, just as Jesus humbled Himself to be made a man and be born from her womb. Now let's go back to Ephesians 2. And here I want us to look. Let's start not in verse 1, but in verse 4, because it talks about our previous state in those verses. Verse 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love for which He loved us, which causes Him to do what? To give gifts to us, freely desires to give them. Even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. a gift, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're what? In His presence. So in His presence, what should we expect to flow to us here on this earth today and forevermore? Great favor. Verse 7 then, look at what it says. In order that in the ages to come. Now, I would submit to you that we are in the ages to come that was spoken about here. It doesn't just begin when we get to heaven. It is today that you need to see yourself in this verse. So, in order that in the ages to come, today, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace. And how He's going to do that is next. In kindness. Wasn't that one of the descriptors we saw of the word favor? So He's going to show His grace in favor toward you and I who are in Christ Jesus. Oh my! The surpassing greatness, the surpassing riches of that favor. So that tells me we got more coming. It ought to be a natural flow of what? Of increase. And then verse 8, we cannot overlook that today. Because verse 8 says, by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So I just want to stop right here and say, favor comes to us, and it comes to us by grace, a free gift because of the love. But how do we receive it? It's not just dumped on us. The opportunity is there, but we have to do what? Have faith to believe and act on it. Everything that we receive comes what? Comes that way. It just doesn't happen. The opportunity comes, but this favor, this opportunity for tangible evidence of God's love to be seen on us, we have to receive that gift by faith. And saints, that's big. In fact, I'll say, if you want to grow in grace, that's a real starting point. That's a very big item. Believing that we're favored and receiving the fact that we believe we're favored. We have to take that by faith. There's no other way. Now, look at where we are. Throughout this Ephesians selection, we saw we're what? In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So let's look at the one who I would say is the most highly favored ever. And you say, well, gosh, he was. Yeah, but what did he do? He gave up all that in heaven to come to earth. And you're going to see as we look in Luke 2, verse 52, and I'm going to read this in a bunch of different versions. So listen as I read Luke 2, 52. We're going to start with the New King James, which says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature physically, and what? He also increased in favor with God and man. And you say, well, how could he increase? He was learning about who he was in the Father and the Father in him, as he talked about later on. Listen to the complete Jewish. And Yeshua grew both in wisdom and in stature, gaining favor with both other people and with God. So we see the same thing. Now, these next couple, I want you to pay close attention to the words that are used. New American Standard. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. So we could say Jesus kept increasing in favor with God and also with man. Kept increasing. Who are we to imitate? Who are we to be like? Him. The Weymouth translation says, as Jesus grew older, he gained in both wisdom and stature and in favor. So here in these two, we see this concept of continuing throughout. The Williams translation, not mine, says it this way. Meanwhile, Jesus grew constantly in wisdom and in body and in favor with God and man. Now, can I ask you, are we too to grow constantly in the wisdom, in the revelation of God? Open our eyes, Ephesians tells us to pray, so that we can understand. Yes, this is who we are. And so, why would we put a period there when we're supposed to increase constantly in wisdom and in body and what else? And in favor with both God and man. Now, that's a revelation for us. Another key thing that we need to look at, though, was what Jesus was doing when this was written. So look over at chapter 2 of Luke, verse 45. You know, Jesus had gone for the Passover to Jerusalem. His family left afterwards, and after 3 days' journey, they missed him. Let's don't lose what we're talking about and be wondering, well, how could they lose him after 3 days and take 3 days to find him? Don't focus on that. That's what the devil wants to take you, because that puts you in a position of, I've been forgotten. But look at verse 45. What was he doing? So they returned, but they didn't find him, and returned to Jerusalem. Verse 46, they says that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening and asking them questions. Can I do that with Jesus today? Can I do that with the Father through through the Holy Spirit? Am I fellowshipping with the teachers? That's what Jesus was doing. Why? To learn more wisdom, to learn about himself, his calling, who he was, and the fullness of what he was called to do. And as he learned, what increased? Favor did. Verse 47 says, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So they could tell that growth was there and had been there. 48 continues. And when they saw him, his parents, they were astonished. And his mother said, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And so we go to 49 there. And in 49, I just want to make this point. Look at what Jesus said. Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house, or about my Father's business, or about my Father's affairs? So you see what Jesus was doing just before it began to talk about how blessed he was in verse 52. Now, in 47, I want you to note one thing. Jesus didn't stand up and tell them, well, let me tell you what I know. I got a new revelation. Let me share it for you. He was very what? Humble. You're going to hear humility talked a little more about today, and a whole lot more in the future. That is a key element. So what was Jesus doing? He was fellowshipping with the Father. He was gaining that wisdom we saw earlier. And with wisdom comes what? Favor. We've already seen that. Listen to these three verses. Psalm 147, verse 11, says, the Lord favors those who fear him, reverential awe. We might say who we hold in high esteem, or who we honor, or who we just, again, that factor of all. Those who wait for his loving kindness. So the Lord favors those who wait for what? One of the definitions, or one of the words that can be used to explain what a favor is. In Zechariah 8:22, listen to what it says. So many peoples and mighty nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to entreat. Now, entreat means to seek, to desire, to earnestly petition the favor of the Lord. So I want you to see, people who fear the Lord are free to do what? Entreat the Lord for more favor. And then finally, Psalm 119, verse 58 says, I entreated thy favor with all my heart. So this person, this psalm is talking about how they positioned themselves to entreat the Lord. And how did they do that? According to thy word, be gracious unto me. So they're seeing this in the word. They're fellowshipping. They're learning. They're having that word implanted. They're having their faith grow by that word. And they're confident then to say, Lord, show me more favor. And when specific situations come, we can ask for favor in those situations. But verse 50 and 51 says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. Here again is what? Submission. Willingness to humble himself and humbling yourself in every way, humility produces more grace, or we might say, more favor. Do you believe the favor of God was on Jesus? Do you think there might have been a relationship between the way he sought his Father, the way he spent time with his Father, even after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and finding that great favor? Old Testament talks about Moses being a man of great humility. And he wrote this psalm. Listen to it. "And let the favor of our Lord be upon us." And this is out of New American Standard. "And do confirm the works of our hands." Yes, confirm the works of our hands. Well, think about all the works of the hand the Lord used the hands of Moses and his rod for. Manna, parting the sea. I mean, just over and over, quail piled up high. Well, how about Jesus? Think of the works of his hands. And can I just say, he said we should do the same works. Do you think that all those opportunities Jesus had to heal was as a result of the great favor that was entrusted to him to act, confirming the work of his hands? Proverbs 3, verse 34 in the Good News Bible says, talking about God, "He has no use for conceited people, but shows favor to those who are" what? "Humble." Passion Translation, "If you walk with the mockers, you will learn to mock. But God's grace and favor flow to the meek." Oh my. Here we are talking about miracles happening, the presence of God being manifested. All because of what? Favor, I believe, flowing toward Moses and certainly toward our Lord Jesus. Now, I want to go quickly to one more reference and we'll conclude the study today. Somebody is probably saying, yeah, but that was Jesus. Well, let's look at another man. Let's go quickly to 1 Samuel, book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 26. Now, you know the account of Samuel, how Hannah desired to have a son. "I'll commit him to the Lord." All that took place. She did conceive. She did present him. And so he's here. Samuel's here living with Eli in the tabernacle. And it says, "Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor with both the Lord and men." Where was he living? There in the presence of God. And he was growing in both of those. Now, if we look over in the third chapter, I want you to see, because we're going to ask the question again, what was Samuel doing? Well, we got an answer in verse 1. He was ministering to the Lord before Eli. He was ministering to the Lord. Now, it goes on and says, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days." That's important because Samuel is going to be a great prophet. And then in verses 2 through 7 is the episode, three times, where the Lord speaks to Samuel and he says, "Here I am." And then he gets up and goes where? Runs to Eli. And Eli said, "It wasn't me. Go back to bed." And so this happened over and over. Look down in verse 7. "Now Samuel did not know the Lord, yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him." So Samuel is favored, but it's saying he's lacking in some things. And so he is learning more of the nature of the Lord and of his word. And then you look at 8 through 11, and Eli says to him, "Now go lie down, and if you hear this voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So here's this young boy going back, and he lays down, and in verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, talks to Samuel. He came and stood just as before and spoke to him. And Samuel said in 10, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And then in 11, he says, "I'm about to do something in Israel, and with both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And then in 12 through 19, through 14, he gives a very, very tough word. Now, might I say that Samuel is being shown great favor by the Lord speaking to him and telling him what's about to happen. But what does Samuel have to do in order for this great favor to manifest here on the earth? He's got to do what he says. Can you imagine how he felt going to tell Eli, things about to fall apart from you, for you, because of the wickedness of your sons and you not correcting them? Now, look in verse 19, because he did this. I want you to see the results of what his obedience to this opportunity for favor poured out, an opportunity for him to act, to be blessed, to grow in the Lord. Look at what it says. Thus Samuel grew. Now, how was he growing? I said earlier, not only in stature, but in what? In favor with God. So then Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And look at the results of the favor that began to be poured out on Samuel as he spoke what he heard from the Lord. None of his words failed. Here is a young boy walking in great favor, and when he does it, even as a young man, his knowledge not complete, he puts in a position where none of his words fail. Might I say to you, that was a foretaste of what Jesus experienced? Every word he spoke came to pass during his time on earth here. When he spoke to fevers, they left. When he blessed food and had an opportunity for favor to feed 5,000 for his father, all those times, his words never failed. Now, we're just going to stop here today, but I want you to begin to see a sense of ministering to the Lord, of spending time with him. You are not earning his favor. It's already been granted to you. You are positioning yourself, though, to do what? To increase in that favor being poured out upon you as you act and receive. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. But it all begins by us believing that we receive favor, and we begin today to take that favor by faith. We'll pick up here in a week, and we'll begin to talk more about this great favor that has been bestowed on you, most highly favored one.